radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Oh, what's good, my man?
Broadcasting live from Cactus Jackson Baytown as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, also live on the ESPN Houston app, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. So, last night, the NBA draft tipped off, and get this, everybody. And this isn't even my opinion. This is ESPN's opinion. Because go to ESPN.com and take a look at the biggest winners of round one of the NBA draft. The Houston Rockets, who selected Kamon Malawak with the 10th overall pick per ESPN, they won the draft. Malawak will bring high-level intensity, rim protection timing, rebounding ability, and switchable defense, quality the team lacked last season, injecting much-needed youth and energy into a roster overloaded in the backcourt. That's right, a lot of guys for the Rockets in the backcourt with Fred VanVleet and Amen Thompson and Reed Shepard and Cam Whitmore. Most importantly, he is one of the draft's youngest prospects with significant potential for growth. Physically and skill-wise, he's highly regarded by coaches and teammates for his off-court intangibles. Okay, sounds like he's going to fit right in with Ime Udoka coming from Duke to the Rockets. The Rockets won the draft last night. No, not the Dallas Mavericks with the first overall pick taking Cooper Flagg. Nope, not the San Antonio Spurs taking Dylan Harper, the basketball player, not the first search on your Google. The Rockets won the draft last night. And listen, he put on that Rockets hat, and this is a guy that's going to fit right in. And, I mean, you already got all the size in the world. You've got Steven Adams. You've got Jabari Smith. You now have Kevin Durant. You've got Amen Thompson. You've got Tari Eason. You've got height. You've got size. You've got length. And you're bringing in some more. Oh, boy. I think the Rockets just won the NBA title last night with this pick. So, yeah. If you want to weigh in on that, what, Sean?
I said, yeah. How could you not feel great for it? I mean, he had tears in his eyes getting drafted. His dream.
He's a Rocket
big
now.
Realize, putting on that Rockets cap. Which
he's a Rocket.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we all saw it right there. The Rockets have basically won the NBA offseason twice in just 3 to 4 days.
Yep.
It's
yep.
Incredible.
The legacy of Houston Rocket big men continues.
It continues.
From Moses Malone, Ralph Sampson, Hakeem Olajuwon.
He's huge. This was huge.
Yeah. Yao, Dwight Howard, Alperen Şengün.
Omer Asik.
Omer Asik, yeah. Remember when P.J. Tucker was a center for a little while?
Chuck Hayes, notable.
That's
Rocket
true.
Center.
Big when it came to his heart.
Yes. It's not the size of the dog, Paul.
Yeah.
The size of the dog, or the fight in the
exactly.
dog.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bring it back to dogs.
Chuck Hayes,
Charles
dog.
Barkley. Charles Barkley, who played for the Rockets. Bigger than he probably wanted to be in other ways.
He was a big, was not a Rockets. Center. Not a center,
he
was a big.
Live up to. Yeah.
But he always played bigger than he actually was.
Yeah.
Kelvin Cato, great Rockets center.
How long do you think we could keep going while people are like shaking their fists at the car?
I mean, I would say it was the best Rockets draft pick since Rudy Gay.
yeah. That's what
I really
took
do. I think he could be as big of an impact on the Rockets as Rudy Gay.
I think bigger, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, literally, he's bigger.
He was traded for Kevin Durant, so he's bigger.
Kevin Durant
there it is.
Will Kevin Durant outproduce Shane Battier?
I gotta say, this is so easy to fix. Like, why do they have to put on the hat of a team that has traded them already?
Yeah.
It's so strange. You have an opportunity for an optic right away so that you could post this on social media as a team and try to get your fan base to buy back in. If you're a Suns fan, you probably want to kill yourself right now. It's been a rough week. You just traded Kevin Durant for basically pennies, and everyone's looking at you and acting like you don't have anything going forward. And all of a sudden, like, you get this guy, but everyone thinks he's a rocket. And they have to play dumb on the broadcast, too. It's just so bizarre. You could move the draft back a few days, or you could do something where free agency happens first, the league year starts first, and then the draft happens? That way you can make this happen in, like, a more sensical order?
Yeah, or you can just, like, finalize trades involving draft picks before the draft. Like, just, hey, if it involves a draft pick this year and it's been made, whatever, since the offseason started, like, we'll just put them in the right hat. So a team trades up in the middle of the draft, I can understand how, like, logistically that's, like, a little hard. And sometimes the trade gets announced after the pick gets made. And so I can see, though, like, the Pelicans one. Like, I can see how it's hard to get a Pelicans hat up there. But for the Rockets trader, they traded the 10th pick on Sunday. Like, there's plenty of time.
We knew this well in advance.
They had a graphic.
They didn't even say anything when the pick was made. This will be traded to Phoenix. Like, they could have said that. It's a very bizarre presentation, and it's once again why the NFL runs everything. The NFL's draft presentation is second to none. The NBA, you got people talking about it that don't know a damn thing outside of Bob Myers, right? I mean, you've got Kendrick Perkins. No offense to Kendrick Perkins. I don't really think much of him as a scout. You got Stephen A. Smith yapping, screaming, and playing solitaire. I mean, you've got a lot of – like Stephen A.
It should be Billis and Myers, and then maybe, like, a former player. Like,
right.
That's what the crew should be.
It used to be Billis and Myers and Bill Simmons, and it was pretty good, actually. This, not great, and it allows for things like the significant others of Dylan Harper's father, Ron Harper, or the significant other of that guy who the Raptors drafted. Yeah. He was so mad
Murray
that he got
Boyles.
Drafted.
Yeah.
Colin Murray Boyle's significant other, or, you know, that's how the stories become this, because the presentation's bad, and people actually had to go with this charade that the Houston Rockets drafted a guy that's going to be on the Phoenix Suns. Like, that was the biggest story in the NBA going into it, and you're basically acting like, well, the Kevin Durant trade technically didn't happen yet at the biggest event of your offseason. It's just so – it's such an easy fix. Like, that's what frustrates me. If there was some sort of convoluted reason as to why this had to happen, like, I would understand it. But, I mean, for God's sakes, that one guy who plays for that German team that we talked about yesterday, he left. He left – Game 5, the championship, Game 5, the clincher, to watch this presentation, and they can't even get the presentation right. So he left for that, and he's not even getting a correct presentation.
Especially when it's a week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the crazy thing about it. Like, one of these things, when the start of the NBA year and free agency and the draft are 1 week apart, can't we just move each one by like 3 days, and all of this fixes itself?
I totally
It's
like
such an easy fix.
You can
We're not talking about months. We're talking about literally a week.
Yeah.
And you can just, like, make an exception for it's like, hey, if you've agreed in principle to a trade involving a 2025 draft pick by 9 o'clock the morning of the draft, like, we'll put them in the right hats. If you make a draft day trade, like, we'll have to do that as we go. But this Kevin Durant thing, there's another trade that also involved, is it like a Pacers pick or something?
I think so, yeah.
Where it's like, guys, like, we knew about this trade weeks ago. Like, you
do a ceremonial hat switch or something like that too. I mean, like,
yeah,
to show,
or like
it's
a college football player picking up hats.
Exactly. Like, that would make sense. Like, everyone knows what's happening on the broadcast, and yet the broadcast doesn't acknowledge the thing that everyone knows, which is it makes you feel like you're crazy out there. So, I was kidding about the Rockets winning the draft. As far as how the rest of the draft went and how it relates to them, The Mavericks are only going to be a threat when Kyrie Irving is back, and we do not know when that's going to be. When Kyrie Irving is back, I am intrigued by this Dallas Mavericks team with Anthony Davis, Cooper Flagg, and Kyrie Irving. For now, afterthought. I know that they got all the way to the finals. That was with Luka Doncic. But when Kyrie's back, yeah, you got another threat in state. As far as the Spurs are concerned, I like the upside for Dylan Harper. I think, you know, just remembering how Steph Curry came into the league with his dad, Del Curry, for such a long time. If your dad's Ron Harper, which also wasn't talked about nearly enough on the broadcast last night. I mean, part of the 90s Bulls. So, I mean, you know the work ethic it takes because your dad's reminding you of it at all times. And I think generally dads are better at communicating things to a son than anyone. So I think when it comes to that guy, I like the upside, but I definitely think it's going to be like a year and a half or so until the Spurs are where the Rockets are. It's not that far away, though. It's not that far away. And the West, man, it's gonna be a really good conference. It's so annoying that both Texas teams got the other top picks. It's just so obnoxious. I suppose it'll make things more competitive, and it's been a while since there's really been any heat between any of the teams in Texas from a basketball perspective. There's probably some Mavericks Spurs heat in the early 2010s when the Rockets were still, you know, like with Luis Scola as their best player. And yeah, there was a little bit of Rockets Spurs heat. They did have that one playoff series, and the Mavericks and Rockets had that one playoff series, but that was the one where Rajon Rondo quit. So it's annoying that these teams got rewarded, but I do think it's going to be a time before they are actually annoying on the court to the Rockets. You want to chime in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. I guess we should be thankful that the Rockets did not draft Malawak because, Sean, if I'm not mistaken, we were talking about this during the commercial break, our beloved Cougs destroyed him. They took his life essence away.
Yes, he's 7'1", I believe, center for Duke. And when the Duke Blue Devils played Houston in the Final Four, Malawak finished the game. I think he played probably a little over 20 minutes. He finished with zero rebounds against the Cougs. Hey, listen, the Cougs are a great rebounding team, offensive, defensive rebounding team. I would like you to get one rebound. Like, I just want one. Just give me one or two. Like,
just one.
Every 10 minutes that you're out there, you can't grab a rebound.
Right. Yeah,
there's plenty
on.
Of missed shots. Plenty of missed shots.
That is Sean Mapes back at Mission Control. Brian McDonald is out here hanging with me. We are live at Cactus Jacks as part of the ESPN Houston Summer Circuit. Come on out here. I'm up on the stage to the right. There is a registration table where you can register to win the grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. I saw Ronnie from Dayton stop by a little bit earlier, regular caller of the show. If you haven't been here before, guys, you're missing out. This is a very, very cool place. You got Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison playing in the background. Seriously, it's a wonderful spot. Come out and hang out with us. We'll be here until 6 p.m. There's going to be live music here at Cactus Jack after that. On top of that, family-friendly environment. You got like a playground over to my right, a patio, an indoor area, all sorts of TVs. So you can watch the Astros if you want. It's the Paul Gallant Show live at Cactus Jack's. Stick around.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Cactus Jackson Baytown as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in town, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, to YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Also live on the ESPN Houston app. We're live at Cactus Jack's. Fantastic spot. Getting a Miller Lite. Is that lame? I don't know. I will say, for all the people listening right now, I am a beer free agent. You want me to advertise your beer? Oh, I'll drink it. I am not picky when it comes to that. I am picky when it comes to food, which honestly is a little bit of a problem. The not liking cheese thing has been a weird thing to explain to the girlfriend and also to the girlfriend's friends, because there's no way you can do it without sounding like a little bee. You know, you always sound like, I don't like cheese. So I always like kind of lie, and I'm a little lactose intolerant, but I'm not a lot lactose intolerant. You know, it like gives me gastrointestinal issues. Paul, no one cares. Shut up and talk about sports. Fine. Well, the Astros are again winning. They lead 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth inning with one out. It is, and I believe this table is made of wood, so I'm knocking on it. It is really crazy that the Phillies have not scored once in this series to this point, with the Astros pushing them towards a sweep. And again, Philly, for those who don't know, you take a look at their record, it's one of the five best teams in baseball. And the Astros get them for three, then they play the Chicago Cubs, who have the same record as the Phillies, at least as things currently stand. At 47-33, the Astros right now have a 5.5-game lead in the American League West. The Mariners were scheduled to play the Minnesota Twins, but that game has yet to start. They are still in the midst of a rain delay. But God keeps willing the Astros to win. I say that jokingly. Don't worry. I'm not being sacrilegious here. It's not blasphemy. I just do not understand how the Astros keep winning without the offense. I get how good the bullpen and the starting pitching has been, but to keep on winning and winning and winning and winning when you're missing as much as you're missing, I'm baffled. I'm truly baffled. Thank you so much. So, as far as the Rockets and as far as the NBA draft goes, you want to weigh in on what happened, you can. I don't think anyone got closer to the Rockets in the short term. And, hey, adding Kevin Durant definitely gives you a leg up on some teams that are young. Keith has a thought at 713-780-3776. We always love Keith's questions. They take us off the tracks very often. Keith, what's up?
Hey, Paulie G. Love the show. Just had a crispy Diet Coke. Feeling good. Had to call in on the NBA draft. Crispy DC, can't go wrong. At the resort. So I've been deep into the young Hanson Tate, the Chinese player headed to Portland. They're calling him Chinese Jokic. He's got a crazy game. He's got a spin cycle that would, you know, rival a young Hakeem Olajuwon. This guy's going straight. The Blazers are keeping him despite having a ton of bigs. He looks crafty. He's got some ball handling. Young Hanson, he had to buy a ticket to the draft last night. He was up there in row 75.
Yeah.
And he reluctantly got his name called. And he had to walk down. Took about a half hour to get to the stage. But young Hanson looks like a baller, right?
Dude, he's tall. That was interesting, where he's sitting in the back. I thought he was excited to be drafted because he was a projected day two pick. I think that's why he was sitting in the stands. That was cool for him, I thought. I have no idea, honestly, what he will be like in the pros. But we will see. What a take. Paul, really laying, really diving in there. Really laying it all on the line.
Scorching hot.
That's a scorching hot take. Like, we'll see.
Chinese Jokic. All right. Let's see if he can be Chinese Shingun first. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
How about
exactly.
That?
Yeah. And interesting. I didn't know he was Chinese.
Let's see if he can be Chinese Mountain Watch first. All right.
Well, that could be bad if he's going up against a team from Houston because, you know, that means you don't get any rebounds. Yeah, listen, my take on everyone coming out of a draft is, and I know this is lame, but it's now we'll see. I don't know. I didn't put in the work. I'm not going to pretend I did. That's my big problem with everyone that does weigh in on it. I think there are certainly people who do put in the work, but I don't know who puts in the work, and it makes me frustrated with the people who speak very confidently about anyone going into the draft because I know that whatever work that they did, it's not the work that the actual professionals are doing. I suppose if you're going to use mock drafts as a gauge for where someone should go, fine, because those are usually based off of intel that teams share with people. But there's only a select few mock drafts that are like that. Other mock drafts, people are trying to force something to happen in a place because they're like, this guy would be great in this spot. And they know that there will be a lot of clicks for a specific player going to a specific team. So, you know, like Ace Bailey to Washington, people wanted that to happen. But then Utah steps in and they go get Ace Bailey because they're like, screw it, we're just going to take him. What's he going to do? And Ace Bailey, to his credit, he handled it pretty professionally. I'm not exactly sure how well Utah is going to handle him, you know. I think Utah was really hoping for Cooper Flagg or Greg Kniffel. I really think that was.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, exactly. I can't either.
I have a history of tolerance and respect.
Very, very tolerant place. By the way, I've been watching this documentary called The West. It's a Ken Burns documentary. And in said Ken Burns documentary, I learned that that American Primeval show that came out a little bit ago with Taylor Kitsch as the main character, I learned that it's based on a real story. And Brigham Young, maybe not the classiest of dudes, if you will. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. We are live here at Cactus Jack's. This place rules. What's going on, everybody? Getting closer to the Killer Bees taking over. You want to weigh in on the Astros? You want to weigh in on the Rockets? You can. And make sure that if you are here, that you go over to the right of the stage and you register for a chance to win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. The registration stop by the promo table. I am Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Coming up next, how far is too far? We're going to really get into it. At what point is it acceptable to break wind near somebody else? That's one thing we'll discuss. And I can't believe that some people have to take some of the things that they've said recently on TV back. This one is really something else. How far is too far is next. Stay put.
Broadcasting live from Cactus Jackson Baytown as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Also live on the ESPN Houston app, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. If you're coming out here to Cactus Jack's, fantastic spot. Make sure that you go over to the stage and that you're registering as part of the summer circuit for a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. I have cracked open my first. We're going with a little Miller Lite here. Yeah, staying casual. Perhaps I could have gone a little more aggro, but it is a Thursday, and I do have to do a little bit of a drive on the way back. But it's nice to meet everybody who comes out here, hangs out. This is a really cool place. I hope we do more shows here. I really do. I'm not the biggest fan of driving, but this is worth it out here. And if you're ever, you know, on I-10, stop here instead of at the Beaver spot. I mean, this has got good food, good views. It's a really cool spot. Anyway, this is the most recent update I've seen on Kevin Durant. Shams Charania posted this, or said this when he was on NBA Live or whatever show is on ESPN. Was this his first take? I don't know. But Shams Charania was in studio and said, The Rockets really excited Kevin Durant. The plan for Durant is for him to retire in Houston. I'm told players like Alperen Şengün, Amen Thompson, Tari Eason, Jabari Smith, and Reed Shepard really, really excited him. All right. Let's see. Let's see what happens. I hope he stays happy. That is my one concern. But for the most part, I see how this makes a lot of sense for him. And, hey, if he's going to retire here, it would be very cool for him to finally get that championship where he's the top dog in our backyard. Number three. For our beloved Houston Rockets. So, every single Thursday at 2:30, we do a little segment. It's called How Far is Too Far?
Paul Gallant asks a simple question. How far is too far?
Yeah, we're definitely outside the box now, huh? You gotta ask yourself, how far are you willing to go?
We had a very strange moment in sports broadcasting in the WNBA. In the midst of a women's basketball game, Rebecca Lobo, who you might remember from back in the day in the WNBA, she played for the New York Liberty, might have played for other teams too. She's a color commentator as part of one of their top broadcasts. And she said this and was basically elbowed into apologizing by whoever was doing the play-by-play.
So they disagree with you. They do, and I disagree with them, and that's fine. That's what makes America great, right, Pat Moore? I should rephrase that.
Yes.
But yeah, I did think
opinion are perfectly.
Yes,
fine.
That's a better way to say it. And, sorry about that. And,
what are we doing here, Pam Ward? That was pathetic. So. First off, that is a common saying. That's been a common saying. And Pam Ward is old enough to know that that's what makes America great has been said forever. The ability for us to have different opinions. By the way, it is great that we can have different opinions. I'm a big believer in that. In case you didn't know. I would think that Pam Ward would believe that too, given that I don't know. She talks for a living. The funniest part after that very awkward silence is when Rebecca Lobo, who I guess is like, well, what did I do? What did I say? And then probably figures it out and said, like, I guess I have to rephrase that. And Pam Ward just quietly says, yes. It's so embarrassing. And I'm not trying to be MAGA Paul here or anything like that. Like, all of a sudden, the idea of trying to make America great is bad, or saying that this country is great because we could have difference of opinions is bad? Bizarre. Truly bizarre. So, Rebecca Lobo, look for a new partner, please. That's absolute BS. How far is too far continues. We've had a little bit of a farting epidemic in the internet world over the last couple of days. First off, I don't know how many people are familiar with pro darts, but in a championship bout between James Wade and Peter Wright, James Wade tooted, which led to Wright walking off from the match. The funny thing about this is that this is the second time that James Wade has farted in the midst of a darts competition. So this led to a little back and forth between Wade the farter and Peter Wright. Wade thought it was hilarious. Wright not so much. Tooting in somebody else's, like, right next to them. I mean, you got to be really familiar with them. I think only friends are allowed to do that personally, and significant others. A well-timed fart can be pretty funny, assuming it doesn't smell like death. But we had another moment, and this went viral over the weekend, where a woman felt assaulted by someone tooting near her.
We just went to the store, the grocery store right by our house, just to buy, like, junk food and stuff, you know, because we're really tired. Just wanted some sweet treats. And we were walking down an aisle, and there were, like, two guys that walked up next to us. You know, Peyton, like, walked away. My wife walked away for just a second. And they were, like, snickering to their, like, to themselves or something. And, like, I didn't really think much of it. So I'm just looking at the candy aisle trying to decide what candy I want.
Treats.
And he walks by and gets, like, inches from me and just rips one. Like, farts, like, this far from me. That's disgusting to say. I can't even believe I'm having to say this. But he did. And about that time, Peyton walked up, like, didn't witness what happened, but, like, seconds later, and I'm, like, upset, and I follow after him, and I was like, is there a reason? You were just so disrespectful to me.
Called you
an ass. Come here. And he, never felt so dehumanized.
Oh, man, that last part. Now, to be fair, it seems like the man, when she called him out on it, called her a bitch. And I don't know that she was necessarily as emotional about this before that happened. It sounds like these guys sucked, just to be frank. Like, they might have been Beavis and Butthead. However, posting a video crying about it on the internet, and it's about a fart, a lot of people are going to make fun of you for it. And, I mean, I don't know, just the way that she was talking about it. Like, we're just at the grocery store looking for some sweet treats. And the fact that she's crying over a fart. I'm sorry. That made me laugh. Should it have made me laugh? Am I a bad person for it making me laugh? I don't know. Farts are funny. I'm stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, like, I'm so glad that I'm the type of person I actually am and not the type of person where in the middle of it she goes, and he farts. I can't believe I even have to say that. Like, that's like just saying the word fart is, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh,
those kids suck. That did it. Yes. Or men. I don't know.
I bet there's Beavis and Butthead. Like, it just sounds like the kind of Beavis and Butthead
does sound
like,
very,
guys. Like,
yeah.
Just.
Watch this.
But, you know, again, what they did sucks. The reaction is hilarious. I know, the way she said fart, like it's a bad word. By the way, we were not, as when I was a kid, we were not allowed to say the word fart growing up. We weren't allowed to say it. You could not say the word fart in the Gallant household. You had to say stinker. Also, another fun thing, and again, like, it's too far to break wind in front of somebody that you don't
intentionally.
Know.
That's,
intentionally.
That's bio,
yeah.
Warfare.
That is kind of assault. Like, a little bit. Like, it's just assault adjacent. But in our house, no matter how rancid the noxious fumes you created were, no matter how bad they were, as long as you said, excuse me, they were fine. I love how I'm taking a beer from somebody as I'm talking about farting. Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I do like the respect, not just that someone showed you and you're showing them, but also yes. Of the, like, hey, listen, we say excuse me and we forget it. Like,
that's what my dad and my mom said. Yeah. It's a great time.
Doesn't matter how terrible it smells.
Listen, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it in the presence of somebody. Don't do that. How far is too far? How about this? How far is too far when it comes to going over the speed limit? So we've had a couple of incidents with this in sports over the last couple of weeks. Shedeur Sanders has been pulled over twice for speeding since, I believe, June 6th. The most recent time he went 101 in a 60, his girlfriend was going in the 90s. He said afterwards, I made some wrong choices personally. Shedeur, I got to say this, like, hey, man, I get having fun and everything like that, but you sort of have to be on your best behavior if you want to figure, including not just on the field but off the field, if you want to fight your way to the top of this Browns depth chart, which is definitely open. I mean, like, Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel are supposedly the two top ones on the totem pole at this moment in time. But this has happened twice with Shedeur Sanders. Also, Zach Edey was charged with reckless driving after going more than 100 miles per hour in Indiana. We're all living in Texas, and in Texas, I know it is routine for people to go 20 to 25 miles per hour over the speed limit. It's even in the spots where the speed limit is 80 to 85. So my question is, how far is too far for going over the speed limit? I always feel a little bit nervous about going more than 20 miles per hour over the speed limit on the highway. On regular roads, it's 5 to 10 miles per hour. It really depends on where you're at and if you think that there are cops nearby. I've always felt as well that you respect the cops. If you see a cop nearby, you immediately slow down. They, I've been told, will generally, like, say, acknowledge that you respected them, and then they will just go about their business. That's just my personal experience. Someone who, to this point in his life, has never received a ticket. Knock on wood. I probably do drive a little faster than I should. Never gotten a ticket.
That's
never
crazy.
Gotten a ticket. I know. I could have gotten one for an accident, but I disputed it, and it got wiped away.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's crazy. I mean,
I don't think you get very often the and you've told this story on the air before, a person who's failed the driver's test, but then also has never gotten a ticket 20 years after getting his
license. For those who don't know, Sean, thank you for reminding me. I took the Florida's driver's license test in Florida, and I definitely failed it. Like, I added up the score afterwards, and I was like, oh, man, I didn't pass. But I didn't say anything. And the guy said, congratulations, you passed. I definitely failed it. Because I tried to make a K. They said make a K turn. I'd never heard it called that before. So I made a turn like a K. And then I also had to drive 40 miles per hour in reverse for some reason. Which made no sense. Like, what? Am I trying to escape a murderer?
That's a very Florida combine drill that you have to
do. By the way, maybe let's put parallel parking on the test instead of driving 40 miles per hour in reverse.
Wait,
no, there's no parallel parking. No parallel parking. There's no parallel parking.
That's insane.
If you want to get your license, you can get it at age 15, too. Like, I'm surprised more people don't die on the roads. You got all the old people driving around in Florida, and you got, like, 15-year-olds
that
got no experience.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. So,
but still,
anyway.
No tickets for you. Good job.
No tickets. Knock on wood. Hopefully I don't get one on the way back. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. How far is too far? Continues. 76-team NCAA tournament. That's too far. That'll be determined in a couple of weeks, apparently. We are closer and closer to a 76-team NCAA tournament. Also, how far is too far? The Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders just got a 400% raise. So first off, is that too much? Second, should I watch the Netflix show about the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, which one of our interns recommended that I do? Which of our interns did that, Sean? We were both in the...
It was Praise.
Praise was like, hey, you should watch this, and was laying it out, and I'm like, I'm going to come off as a creepy old man if I watch this show. Like, I know my limits. I know at this point in time, like, what I can watch, what I can't watch, and what I can talk about on the air, and what I can't talk about on the air. Also, I'm in a relationship, so, you know.
Well, hey.
Can't look elsewhere.
Maybe you pitch it to the lady. Watch some reality TV together.
Oh, it's reality TV. Okay, that's what you're pitching it as. Okay.
Yeah, that's how I would package it.
Yeah, that's
okay. There's a new reality about the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
I don't think she'll be into it. She's not really into sports. Nah, I think we're gonna finish Righteous Gemstones, and I think we're gonna rewatch Mr. Robot afterwards. Mr. Robot is her favorite show. Mr. Robot's a very good show. Anyway, guys, it is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in town. On a How Far Is Too Far Thursday, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. I'm going to have to do a little research here, but it seems like there's something going on in one of our highways. And we've also got a little bit of garbage time coming up next. The Paul Gallant Show. Stay put. Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show. Rockets didn't do anything in the first round of the draft yesterday, even though television viewers were probably confused when a now Phoenix Sun put a Rockets hat on his head. The Astros lead the Philadelphia Phillies 1-0 in the bottom of the sixth inning, making it, if I'm doing my math correct, 24 straight innings that they have held the Phillies scoreless this series. This is a Phillies team that has the same record as the Astros, 47-33. The Astros have a 5.5-game lead in the American League West on the Mariners, who were scheduled to play the Twins, but that is still in a rain delay. They are only 2.5 games back of the Detroit Tigers for first place in all of baseball. They also trail, I believe the Dodgers are ahead of them when it comes to overall record. Couple of other tidbits before we get to garbage time. Former Ravens kicker Justin Tucker was suspended for the first 10 weeks of the 2025 season. The Ravens cut him. They said it had nothing to do with football. He wasn't playing particularly well last year, but the Ravens had to have known. And John Harbaugh, I think, actually accidentally tipped his hand, saying, like, well, you know, it's a difficult situation. This relates to the allegations of sexual misconduct against him at a series of Baltimore area spas from early on in his career. And this is on a day where we heard that, like, former Rocket Dylan Brooks put out a restraining order against the mother of his two children, and when we found out that, like, Dwight Howard's dog got hit and run. The craziest thing in Houston taking place right now is this. Traffic on the North Freeway is closed in both directions because a woman involved in a crash is armed with a handgun. The crash happened I-45 northbound near Cypress Wood Drive this afternoon. A caller told Harris County Precinct 4 Constable's Office, the woman at the scene is armed with a gun and ignoring orders. I think there's another report that she pulled out a lawn chair. So I think she's sitting in a lawn chair with a gun in the middle of the highway after an accident. Stay away from that area. That is effing wild. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Time for a little garbage time before we GTFO.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Chip Carey is still the St. Louis Cardinals play-by-play guy, even though this moment happens.
Disability Pride Night is Thursday, July 10th, and with a theme ticket, fans take home a Cardinals cap featuring the Disability Pride flag and Cardinals in Braille. Ooh. Details at cardinals.com/theme.
Oh, no, Chip. What will your father think?
Leave that one.
Oh, his voice was shaking there afterwards.
And I cut the awkward silence in half of that.
Oh, because it was about 30
it was
seconds
30
of awkward
seconds.
Silence.
That was only 15.
What do you think Harry Carey would have to say about that?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, my son isn't a homophobe. My son was just slipping his words. That word is similar to the word flag.
I will say there does need to be some reform in broadcasting school.
Yes.
Between this and the Rebecca Lobo clip that we played earlier. There doesn't need to be 20 seconds of dead silence every time someone says something. I think the right move is to quickly... Boom, back to the game.
Lean into it, have fun with it, Kevin Harlan would.
Yes.
Why Harlan's the GOAT.
Or if it's something like this, be like, well, you know, so-and-so has a 240 average. Like, just immediately, like, distance it with words.
That A's broadcaster, what's it, Jenny
Kapnar?
Oh,
yeah.
She had a moment this week, too, where she accidentally said something suggestive.
Yeah, well, there's also the A's broadcaster last year. Or maybe it was 2 years ago, who said something about the Negro League museum that they visited.
Ooh,
used
God.
The wrong word.
Yeah. Listen, slip-ups happen. They generally are accidental. But there are certain words that you have to be very careful before you actually say them. So anyway, just keep that in mind. Before we get out of here, here are Skip Bayless and Ernestine Bayless talking about their hall passes.
So this would be like a fantasy of...
Right. Well, it's happened to me twice, but I'm not going to talk about that.
What happened to you twice?
I ended up dating somebody that I used to have their picture on my wall, but I'm not going to go into it.
Okay. You weren't married.
No, I wasn't married at the time.
Okay, well,
oh,
then
but I was single. Oh, then it doesn't count.
It messes up your hall pass.
Oh, okay, forget it.
So
okay.
You didn't need a hall pass.
I've always loved Al Pacino.
She would sleep with him tonight.
I love Al Pacino.
Okay, I'm going to give you a hall pass on Al Pacino.
It was in the news today. He went and he met the Pope.
Okay.
Tyler,
next,
did you see
he'll
that?
Meet you. Al, if you're watching,
Al,
you can have her.
I don't have to have a kid
tonight.
Yeah, tonight.
Free. I'm no charge.
Free, no charge. I do know where he goes to the heart doctor.
You do? In Beverly Hills?
Yes.
You
yes.
saw him there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you should go hang out on that street hoping he'll come
back. I once gave him an
eyesight.
I got to give Skip Bayless a lot of credit for that moment. I got to give him a lot of credit because, listen, that's a lot to admit. I think a lot of people are clowning him right now. I kind of like how open he is right there. So how about that? Skip Bayless with a rare good broadcasting moment. That's going to wrap things up for today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes back at Vision Control. Big thanks to Brian McDonald out here at Cactus Jack's. And, of course, big thanks to Cactus Jack's. This place rules. I hope we do another show here soon. Big thanks to our YouTubers, our Twitchers. Big thanks to our texters and our callers. And, of course, a big thanks to the people who are making our summer circuit happen. Make sure you come on out here so you have a chance to win a pair of e-bikes, Power On Electric Bicycle Company. $4,000 value for that. I'm merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. The Killer Bees are next. You'll see me tomorrow at Drift in the Heights. Peace.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.